Bokatov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Ktubot, Perek Shi'i. We are on the Sugya on Pei Vav Amud Bet. And today we're going to look at one very short Mishnah and then two Mishnayot combined and the attendant Gemara, taking us to Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, which is properly Mishnah Dalad, makes the following statement. HaMoshivat Ishto Chenvanit. Let's say that a man has his wife serve as a storekeeper selling his own goods. Oshmina apotropia, or he appointed her as a trustee over some of the estate. Hareze mashpia kozman shiyotze. He can make her take an oath at any point that she has not taken any of this money for herself as a sort of pre-collection on ketubah. Rabbi Eliezer merafilu al pilchavi al isata. Rabbi Eliezer says that he could even minister an oath if he didn't appoint her as a trustee, because she always has some control over the dough in the house and over the yarn, etc. So really, at any point, he can make her take such an oath. Now, ibay elahu. Rabbi Eliezer ade gilgul kamar lechatchila kamar. Just one quick term to explain, and that is gilgul. The notion of Gilgul Shvua is as follows. When you are justifiably and legitimately administering an oath to another person that they don't owe you money, etc., or that something belongs to them, you may then add in other things that otherwise you cannot take a shvua on. For instance, the din of the Mishnah is that you cannot be mashbiya somebody about metaltalin, but you can do so aliday Gilgul, meaning if there is a contest about land, and you're administering an oath about the land, then you can add into that shvua also about the metaltalin. So the question is, when Rabbi Eliezer says that you can administer an oath to the wife, even if she's not been appointed a trustee, even if she's not your shopkeeper, as it were, because of the things around the house, did he mean Gilgul, meaning when there's a legitimate oath to take, you could add that in, or lechatchila, meaning just this particular issue? At one point, the husband thinks the wife's been dipping into the till. Can he just say, I'm taking a beit din and administering an oath that you have not taken anything for yourself? Toshma, Amrula the Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is from a brighter that we'll see more fully later on, not very soon. The Chacham's response to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah was, Ein Adam Darim Nachash B'Kfifa, meaning Rabbi Eliezer's statement in the Mishnah, you have a brighter that explicates how the Chachamim respond, and they said, you can't live like that. A man can't live with a snake in one basket, meaning the wife can't live with a husband who's going to administer oaths to her all the time. Now, Iyamar Pishlama Lachatchila, we understand their protest if Rabbi Eliezer means that the husband can take such an oath even independently. Shapir, but if he can only take such an oath when he's already administering a legitimate oath, and he can add that in, so then why would she care? In other words, it's not as if he's throwing oaths at her all the time. When there happens to be a legitimate case where there's an oath, he's adding this stuff in. So it seems to be that Rabbi Eliezer's statement is saying that he can make such an oath independently. And that's why the Chacham said you can't live like that. Right? And the answer, well, we give an answer, provisional answer. Damrale came into Kadaika Batroi Kulehai Lomatsina Da'adur Badach. That she could still say, listen, even if it's only I did Gilgul, still he's keeping a record. He's keeping a very exacting record of everything I do. I can't live like that. So it could even mean that Rabbi Eliezer said that he could administer an oath Al Yidei Gilgul, and nonetheless, a woman could not live like that. Now, Toshma, let's see the bright. We'll see this in the next Mishnah. Let's say that a husband did not say to his wife what he will say in the next Mishnah, which is, you are exempt from all oaths. Again, he made her a storekeeper over his goods or a trustee over his assets. Then he can make her take an oath at any point. But if he didn't appoint her in such a way, he cannot make her take an oath. And Rabbi Eliezer, now we got an explication on our Mishnah, says that even if he did not appoint her over his store or over his estate, hareza mashpia kozman shiyotze. Why? Shein lachayisha shelo naseit apotropia shachat b'chei bala al pilchavi al isata. There's no such thing as a wife who isn't at some point entrusted with goods of the husband, like when she's cooking in the kitchen. Those are his, it's his dough. So Amrulo ein adam darim nechash b'kfifa. And what was their response to Rabbi Eliezer? A woman can't live like that. Nobody can live like that, where the husband at any moment could throw an oath at her. Oh, I think you took some of the dough and you kept it for yourself, and I'm going to deduct it from your ketubah. So shma mina lachatchila shma mina. So we can infer from there that Rabbi Eliezer's position is that the husband could lachatchila, meaning independent of another shvuah, could make her take such a shvuah, and that's why the Chacham said you can't live like that. Okay, the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Hay, and also Mishnah Vav is tagged on to this, says as follows, and this is very much of a mirror to Mishnah Aleph, because it will work with staged levels of language, of intensity, in which a person removes himself from a right that he has. In the first Mishnah in our Perek, it was about his right to Perot and to Yerusha. In here, it's going to be about his right to administer oaths, as we just saw in the Mishnah. Katavla neder shvoa in li alayich, if he wrote, or as we said, that he does not have any rights to administer a neder or shvoa on her. So ein yachol hashbia, he cannot administer such an oath. Aval mashbia hu at yosheh avet habayim v'rishuta. But let's say she dies, he could administer an oath to her heirs, or anybody, let's say she sold the ketubah, and that person comes, he can administer an oath to them, saying, I believe that you already collected some of the money, and make them take an oath that they didn't. Now, nedru, if on the other hand he adds, nedru shvua in li alayich v'al yorshayich v'al b'im v'shuteich, if he adds it, and he wants to make her feel good before the marriage, says, listen, I'm not going to administer oaths, not to you, not to your heirs, not to anybody who comes on your account, that works. But his heirs, they can administer oaths to whoever they want to, including her or her heirs or those who come in her place. In other words, this second formulation allows him to remove himself from the possibility of administering an oath to her or anybody coming on account of her. But it does not affect any of his family, meaning any of his, those who come on his account, meaning his heirs, from administering such an oath. Now, here's the granddaddy of all. Neder ushvoa inli lo li velo li yoshai velo b'im b'shuti. So there's no neder for me or my heirs or anybody who comes on my account. Alayich v'al yoshayich v'al b'im b'shutech. Not on you and not on those. No, it covers everything. That works too. Which means now, this marriage will never be subject to Shvuah. Not in its present life and not in its afterlife. That's Mishnah Hay. Mishnah Vav, Hachami Kever Ba'ala Levet Avia. And we cover it now because it's not going to be discussed at all in the Mishnah, but it will be referred to in the Mishnah, within the discussion of Mishnah Hay. Hachami Kever Ba'ala Levet Avia. Let's say she went straight from her husband's funeral back to her father's house, and that she never lived on the estate as an almana. O Shechazra Levet Chamia. Velona Seta Petropia. Let's say she went back to her father-in-law's house, meaning to the estate, but she never was put in charge of the estate. The heirs cannot make her take an oath when she comes to collect the ketubah, and that they, that to the effect that they said, oh, we think you already collected some of it. But if at any point she became an executrix over the estate, they can make her take an oath, but only about things that are going to happen now that she's been made an executrix, not about the past. They cannot make her take an oath to the effect that she already collected something. Now, we're going to look at the entire Mishnah Hay, which is a different levels of the husband excusing himself from the right, or disenfranchising himself, or disempowering himself from the right to administer an oath. Now, Shvua Mayavidita, why would she have any concern about an oath that she would be asking him before the wedding to remove himself from such a thing? What oath does she have in mind? I'm Rav Yehuda Rav. So Rav says the following. She says, you know what? You may appoint me to become a trustee. I won't mind doing that, but I want to make sure you're not going to administer an oath to me. I want you to trust me. Here, Rav Nachman says it's about something else, which is the notion of pogemet. A pogemet, which we're going to meet in the next Mishnah, which will be in the next podcast. Pogemet Ketubata is a woman who is charged by the husband that she, is accused by the husband that she collected the ketubah, and she has no more ketubah coming, and she admits that she collected some of it, but is still demanding others. Pogemet literally means she makes it deficient, she diminishes it. So in the case of pogemet, she's not allowed to collect the rest that she claims is owed her without an oath. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, That's what she's putting into it in advance. She's saying, I want you to commit to me that you won't administer any oaths, meaning that if I'm pogemet, I'll be able to collect what I am claiming without an oath. Now, Azar Mordechai Amar Shmata coming to Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai came to Rav Ashi and reported this machloket about what the oath was about. Is it an oath that she might become an executrix, or an oath about pogemet? So now, Rav Ashi said, Bishlam alamandam ala pogemet tubata. I understand the position of Rav Nachman, who says that she's anticipating pogemet. Maska data dilma mitzarch li zuzi. Shakil namik tubatoi. She has in mind, says, you know what, one day I might need some cash. I might take some cash out of the state, and then it'll come out of my ketubah, and then I'm going to have to testify to how much is it still owed me, and he's going to make me take an oath. I want that oath erased. So that one we understand that she would be anticipating in advance of the marriage. So therefore, she says to him before the wedding, write to me, write, commit to me in writing that you will not make me take an oath. But the other position, the one of Rav, which is that she's anticipating becoming executrix, why would she have that in mind? She's not planning that. That's something he's planning. But why would she have in mind that she would in advance say, I don't want to have an oath administered? Why would she say such a thing? So now, Rav Ashi turns around and says, Amarle, atuna hamat ninula. Your problem is that you're reading Rav and Rav Nachman as a dispute, both about our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says that if the guy excuses himself from an edit, and we assume it's at her behest, then why is he doing so? Why is she requesting it? And therefore you said, I don't understand Rav's position. Problem is, you're learning it as the wrong thing. We learned Rav's statement, not Rav Nachman, Rav's statement on the next Mishnah, meaning Mishnah Vav. Right, if she went straight to her father's house, or even if she went to the estate but never was put in charge, but if she was made an executrix, they can only make her take an oath from things from now on. Now, Shavar Ma'avitei, and so then our question is, what do you mean? You're saying that if she now becomes an executrix, they can only make her take an oath from things from now on. Well, of course. She wasn't in charge of anything before. What would they make her take an oath about? Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. So this is what Rav said. Al putropia shenaset b'chaya baal. And that is that Rav says that if she was made an apotropia, an executrix, while the husband was alive, they cannot administer an oath about that because that's already bygones. Right? They can only minister an oath about things that happen after they're already the players, which is after the husband died, after their father died. Now, aval ben mitalik vura mashbin la. But Rav said that anything that happened after he died, even before he was buried, about that they could make her take an oath. Meaning, if she went and dipped into the till to make him even a nicer funeral, they can turn around and say, you spent X amount of money, that comes out of the ketubah. They could make her take such an oath. Rav Matna added on, this is just a parenthetic statement, and said even those things that happen after death until the funeral, until the burial, they cannot make her take an oath about. Why? To Amrina Hardea, we have the famous statement of the Hardeans, the Charga, which is the head tax, Lumazoni, feeding the orphans, Ulikvura, burying the man, Mizavnina Beloch Achrazta. We, the Beit Din, will go in and sell the man's property in order to pay off taxes for the man who's died, for his property, in order to feed his orphans, and in order to get him buried. So in other words, it's clear, like Rashi points out, it's clear that the woman will have dipped into the till to help provide here. And then if they make her take an oath, she's going to certainly lie. We don't want to set that up, so we just don't even touch it. We just let it go and then say that the only oaths are from things after the funeral, after the burial, and only if they made her an executrix. So now, just to sum that all up, Rav Ashi said to Rav Mordechai, you're confused because you think that Rav's comment about her becoming an apotropia b'chaye bala was about our Mishnah, saying that that's why she would not want to be committed to it, she wouldn't want to be excused or have him disempowered from taking an oath, and she would ask him to write it. Rav wasn't, and that doesn't make sense, because why would she anticipate such a thing? So Rav wasn't talking about that. Rav was commenting on Mishnah Vav. And Rav was commenting on Mishnah Vav and saying that, yes, they cannot make her take an oath about the past, But what's the past that we would think she could take an oath about? That's if she was an executrix while the husband was alive. That they can't take an oath about. And then parenthetically, we have the dispute with Rav Matna about whether they can administer an oath about things after he died before the funeral. Okay, now we're going to deal with the language. And we saw that in the Mishnah, the language was quite simple. Just if you say, I don't have any nedarim on you, then it's between him and her. It's, I have no nedarim on you and those who come on your account, then that excuses the rest of her interested parties. And if he says, I and those who come on my account have no nedarim on you and those who come on your account, everybody's out. We're going to see more things about language. Amar Rav Chiya. Now remember, this is Rav Chiya, version 1, which is Rabba's version of it. Delo nadar udelo shvua. If he said no neder, no shvua, who ino yachol ashpia, then he cannot make her take an oath. Aval yorshin mashpinota, the yorshin can. But if he says niki neder, niki shvua, you're clear of a neder, ben hu ben yorshin and mashpinota, nobody can, because here it's not a statement about what he's ready to do. It's a statement about her status. Her status is free and clear of nadarim. Nobody can make her take a neder, and therefore it affects his heirs too. Hachigamarla, in other words, what did he mean? Man kit mishvuata, you're clear of shvuot. That's Rabba's version of Rav Chiya. Rav Yosef from Rav Chiya, Rav Yosef has an almost opposite piece. It says, Delona daru delo shvua, this he agrees with. And that's why the page I put it differently. If he says, Delona daru delo shvua, then huayna chalash biyav al yoshin mash binota, then the heirs can, but he can't. Nikina dar niki shvua, but if he says, Niki, be cleared of shvua, then what does it mean? Ben hu ben yoshin mashpinota. Then anybody can be mashpia. Either he or his heirs can. Because what did he mean by the phrase? Achikam marla, nikinav sheikh bishvuata. Not you are clear of oaths, but clear yourself up via an oath. In other words, what he meant to say was, oaths are still there and they're the vehicle that we're going to use, whether me or my heirs are going to use to make sure that everything's on the up and up. So far we have this possible distinction between delonadar and nikinadar. Shalach of Zakai Lamar Ukva. Now we're going to up the ante. Bein delo shvua, bein denoki shvua, bein delo nadar, bein denoki nadar. He erases the distinction and he says, in any of those cases, but there's another consideration. If he says, bin achasai, if he says, I will not make you take an oath about my property, he can never administer an oath, doesn't matter what language he used. The heirs can always administer an oath, and it doesn't matter what language he used. So he flattens out the playing field, evens it out, and says, Delonadar, Nikinadar, it's all the same. The main issue is whether he attached it to his property, or Minachasaya Elaine, if he says, there will be no neder on this property, then neither he nor his heirs can, because it's not about her, about his property, meaning while he's alive, but it's about this property. So it remains this property even after he's gone. We will see similar distinctions throughout Masechet Nedarim about how far a neder will reach based on the language, how far in time. So that's Rav Zakkai. Now, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishum Abba Shaul Ben Ima Miriam. Bein delo shvua, bein denaki shvua, bein delo nadar, bein denaki nadar. Again, all the Rav Chiya versions. Bein minachasai, bein minachasai elein. Both of the Rav Zakkai versions. He said, bein hu, uvein yoshav, ein mashpinota. Any of these formulae, whether it's my property or this property, whether it's neki nadar, delo nadar, they can't administer an oath. That's it. Now, he's saying this in the name of an Abba Shaul ben Ima Miriam. But what can I do? Because that's what I think the halacha is, that any of these formulae gets him and his heirs out of the possibility of administering an oath. But what can I say? The Chachamim said, anybody who wants to collect money from heirs has to take a shvua. Now, v'ikah d'amri la matnita, some people read it as a braita. Abba Shaul, not Shmuel quoting, but rather Abba Shaul, ben ima Miriam Amar, as a Tana, bein delo shvua, bein denaki shvua, bein delo nadar, bein denaki nadar, any of those words, any of those phrases, bein minachasai, bein minachasai, then again, Rav Zakkai's distinction gets blurred here, bein hu, bein yorshav, ein mashpinota. You can't make her take an oath. Aval ma'aseh, shemremu chachamim, abal lepar nechsi yotomim, lepar elu b'shvua. But what can I do? Chachamim made a rule that said that anytime you're going to collect from heirs, you have to take a shvua, which means, in essence, that none of these phrases are going to help at all. But Amar Nachman Shua Halacha Ben Ima Miriam. He says that indeed the halacha is like Ben Ima Miriam, which is that in any of these formula, formulae remove him and his heirs from administering a shvuah, in spite of the dictum of the Rabbanan that the Yorshim can always institute a shvuah, that does not exist if there were any formula was used to take him or his family out of the game. Okay, we will pick up in the next podcast on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah of Pogemet. Everybody should have a wonderful day.